Salam Nerds is brought to you by HalalShirts.com, where you can find fun novelty gifts for your Muslim friends. While you're at it, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds, it's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I'm here with my buddy Jazz, aka Jazzistan. What's Jazzistan. Up, Jazz?
Jazzistan. Wow, you're repeating them now, bruh?
Oh, did I do this one already?
You've already done Jazzistan.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? We had to do it again because, you know, we're doing an episode on Ms. Marvel.
Hey, so we had represent. Let's go.
We got to represent Pakistan. So let's go and let's talk about Ms. Marvel. And we actually got to go to a screening of Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. So look at us getting big time. We got to go and... So fun story, one of my buddy, Ali, he hooked me up with a ticket to the screening for the Ms. Marvel show. And they did two episodes and Jazz got to come as my plus one. Yeah. And it was really, really cool. And we got to meet Sana. We got to meet Charmaine. We got to meet like...
Zenobia Auntie. We got to meet... We didn't get to meet Hasan Minhaj or Iman Vellani because Hasan had to get out of there, but Iman, they're keeping her very protected because of COVID still. So
yeah,
we could not speak to her, unfortunately.
So this is what happened. So my friend Ali got me this. He's like, he knows I've been doing a lot of stuff on TikTok, and he goes, "Hey man, I think you deserve to be here," which was really, really nice of him. And then when I went to this event, my friend Aisha was there and my friend Sarah was there, and they were going to do an event for Brown Girl Daily, which is another
Brown Girl Magazine or?
Brown Girl Magazine.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah, they were going to do interviews and stuff for Brown Girl Magazine, and they said that, why don't you come with us as like our plus one? So they brought me along, and I actually got to interview Iman. I got to interview Charmaine. I got to interview Sana. Like, oh, snap. It was really, really cool.
Wait. I got to ask when do these questions. Come out? Or are they going to come out via Brown Girl, or are they going to come out via us now?
Yeah, so Brown Girl is going to write the articles. I asked the questions. They're going to write the articles. I have the videos on some of them too, but the videos are just like for reference, but like you know, to make sure that we got the quotes right and stuff like that.
Hey, wait. So, who owns the footage, man? Because if you own the footage...
I do own the footage, and I might put it, but the quality is not great. It's kind of just like we want to make sure we got the quote right, so we don't really care about the sound. But I might just post it anyways because it's kind of cool.
That, it's really like, cool, dude. I think you should. Like,
yeah,
we made it, man.
That was really cool.
Also, honestly, I do want to mention Pillars Fund. That's the group Ali works with, and Pillars Fund. They're similar to Impact's Hollywood Bureau, and then there's one other. But essentially what they do, these three orgs, is that they're the ones who will work with directors, work with movies, work with TV shows to make sure that Muslims are represented in a responsible fashion. And so This is what their whole like job is. Like, they literally just raise money to make us look good. And I do want to give them a shout out for that because, you know, growing up, we've only seen... And I hate saying this, but guys like Neebs and I, right? We would look like terrorists, and that's what they would just cast us as. That's our only available role in Hollywood, right? But what they've done that, like, for example, the scene in Grey's Anatomy, right? Where that girl took off her hijab to stop a woman from bleeding, right? Like, that kind of representation. Ms. Marvel is another, obviously, a big example of representing Muslims in a positive light. And so that's what these three organizations do. I'm a big fan of Pillars Fund. I actually looked into their taxes, and I'm actually quite impressed at their financial health. No comment on the others. I don't want to shit talk them, but just no comment on that.
No, that's cool, man. But like, they got me the hookup. Brown Girl got me the hookup, and it was really, really cool. I kind of feel like I peaked, man. I might just retire. I think we can just turn the podcast off.
We have to do the premiere next year, all right? We are doing the movie premiere because...
The Ms. Marvels. Yeah, the Marvels.
Are we allowed to tell them the full story about what happened with our premiere this year or no?
Yes, so we could tell them. So basically what happened was I was trying to put together a big premiere for Ms. Marvel. I told them, like they've done a bunch of premieres, but like I didn't want to do what they did, right? Like we went to the event in the for the Pillars Fund, and it was great. But it was a bunch of, like, I don't know, like, not influencers, but like important brown people or influential brown people, right? Yeah, they weren't really Marvel fans, to be honest.
You're right. Let me circle back to this.
The reaction in the crowd wasn't as, you know, the way I expect when I go to Comic-Con and I see people react to stuff, right? So what I wanted to do was I wanted to make an event in a park for free for children, for people and their families and their parents, where they can bring them and they can watch Ms. Marvel, you know, in a park. Disney would not let me do that. They were like, no, we can't do it in a public space. You can only do private screenings, and these screenings have to, you could have only certain people there. It's got to be monitored. There's like security guards. So we couldn't do that. They were like, no. But they're like, you know what? We do this for movies. Mm-hmm. So we can't do it for TV shows. We can do it for movies. And The Marvels is a movie that's coming out. It's going to start Iman. And it's going to be about Kamala Khan. So maybe for that, we're going to be able to put this together. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Inshallah, yes. But really, that's what it was. It was that it was a TV show, not a movie. And yeah, because of some legal issue within Disney, we weren't allowed to do it. So
bottom line, I think a lot of it had to do with that Disney Plus is not available in different countries. And there's piracy issues and stuff like that, so they cannot do that with their shows. The movies come out in theaters, so that's different. So it's a different loophole or legal something. I don't know.
It really was just a legal issue. And if the stars did align for us, because if I recall, you emailed a VP at Marvel or Disney, and they actually approved it.
Yeah. I got like all the approvals from like promotions and stuff like that, and then when it got to legal, it didn't. But like, they forwarded my email to so many different people; it was so crazy. And it went all the way up to the top. It went to like a VP, and she gave me a call randomly, and I picked up, and I was just like, "Hi." She's like, "Hi, my name is so and so, and I'm a VP at Disney, and I got your email through this crazy chain of events and crazy forwarding scheme that happened." Apparently I was the talk of the town, cause like, they're like, who is this guy whose email keeps bouncing around to every other department? It's so funny. But she was super nice. She's also Pakistani actually. So she was really cool. And she says, listen, I can't make this happen, but you know, there's some other things that we can do. And hopefully next year we can make this happen. Cause the thing is, like, there is inequality, right? Like, I grew up in Newark. I grew up near Jersey City. The people going to these, like, events and screeners, like, they have Disney Plus. People in Jersey City don't. I grew up in Newark. I didn't have cable. I didn't have Disney Channel. I didn't have pay-per-view events and stuff like that. Like, my parents wouldn't pay for that kind of stuff. We had to buy food.
You had PBS, and we watched Sagwa. We watched Zaboomafu. We watched the OG shows on PBS growing up.
So I wanted to make something for them so they could at least see the first two episodes and see themselves and see some representation. I really wanted it super bad. So that's my only goal left, because like, I got to interview people. I got to do all this cool stuff. I got the red carpet. I did all that stuff. But I didn't get to be there for the kids. And that's my only regret. So hopefully next year I can do that. And then I peaked. Then I'll retire.
Bruh, you were stuck with me forever. All right. Just accept it now. All right, we're gonna be doing this for years. We're having a great time. I mean,
I don't know how we could beat this. Like, we got to go and like the first ever Muslim superhero in the world, and I got to interview her. Like, that's wild. Like, like, it's crazy to me. I don't understand. Well, and you know what? We might even have like a guest on our show from Ms. Marvel. Who knows?
Hey, don't ruin it yet, man.
All right. We're not gonna ruin it. But be on the lookout.
Just be on the lookout. All we can say is next week's gonna be very exciting.
Yes, very exciting. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the episode, because we talked about our drama long enough.
Yeah, fair. We've already gone 10 minutes into this talking about all the...
I know. It's so funny. Yeah, people don't care about that. People want to hear talk about Kamala Khan.
They want to spoil episode two, right?
No. Well, we thought episode two, but we're not going to talk about episode two.
No, we're not going to talk about episode two. We're not going to spoil it for y'all. Don't worry.
But I just want to start off by saying... Fuck, they found the perfect person to play Kamala Khan. Like, this girl hasn't acted a day in her life outside of, like, high school drama class. But, like, that's it. That's it, right? It's so wild. And she does such a great job. And, like, honestly, I don't feel like they casted a Kamala Khan. I feel like they found a Kamala Khan.
Fair.
Like, they just, right? Like, she's so perfect for the role. And homegirl is, like, out there, like, doing interviews and stuff, and she's so charming. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, she's whatever Disney is paying her, they need to triple it.
Oh, 100%. You know what? Let's go, like, send an email to that Fox Sign lady at Disney. Be like, hey, triple Iman Vellani's pay. Thank you very much.
Seriously, man. She's going to be a star for years to come. Because, mm-hmm. like, the way she's handling the interviews, like, bro, like, Tom Holland is not even as good as her. Motherfucker, right. Out here spoiling movies and shit, man.
Talking points. It's the corporate points. He just, like, casually slides them in there perfectly, just effortlessly. Yeah. And we're just like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Wait, that's a Disney point. That's not a Iman point. Yeah. But she just does it so effortlessly. It's really is charming. That's the word for it. You're right.
Yeah. She's super charming. So it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I'm excited. But look, man, this episode starts off with her getting her driver's license test.
Let's go back a bit more. The episode starts off with her brother praying.
Yeah.
And what did they say? Like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Was it Bismillah or was it, like, Surah Hamaya or Surah Bathya? I can't remember exactly.
I think he says a dua, and I think he's just doing that. And his dad says that, you know, if you don't stop praying, you're never going to get any food in your mouth. And that line is straight from the comics. And, mm-hmm. like, I love that, how it's, like, just ripped straight from there. And then he goes to her, he's like, make sure you say Bismillah before you drive.
Yeah.
And she's like, whatever. But when she actually gets there, she actually does say Bismillah before she drives.
Know.
And honestly, I love that scene because, like it doesn't matter. Like, no matter how religious I ever got, or, like, how, like, sometimes, like, I would get less religious in, like, throughout my, like, years, I would always say Bismillah before an exam.
I'm the same way, man. I totally understand that.
Like, you need all the help you can get. I don't care if you're, like, you're one of those people that's, like, super religious, or some of the people that's, like, you know, not as religious. But, like, when an exam comes, like, you got to drop that Bismillah, man.
Oh,
you gotta
for
drop
sure. In your time of need, you always turn to God. Doesn't matter.
Right? I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
And then you see her, like, when she turns her car on and the Bollywood music comes on and she has to quickly turn it off. Like, yo, that's happened to me so many times. Like, whether it's, like, my parents just have on, like, Bollywood music on, and then, like, I get in the car and it's just like, oh, crap, my friends are in here. I got to turn this off. I don't listen to this, guys. My parents must have done this.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Neebs. Okay, I totally believe you. That's not your CD, is it?
Yeah, that's not my CD, even though it's a Neebs Mixes 2003. Like, that's not mine. I don't know.
Back in the LimeWire and Kazaa days where we would download and risk... essentially, like, viruses and Trojans on our computers just to get really
exactly.
shitty quality MP3.
Yeah, what is this Best of Shah Rukh Khan mix? Like, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen this before.
What? Awesome, what?
No, man. It was a cool episode. And I love the fact that, like, they show her their mom cursing out the driver's instructor. Because, like, yo, Daisy parents, I like that. Like, they'll talk shit about you to your face. But then, like, when somebody comes at you, they got your back.
Oh, 100%.
They got your back, right?
100%.
Even though Kamala's in the wrong, her mom was, like, an attack dog. She was like, you know, I'm on this dude. And it's so funny because, like, to Kamala's face, she's like, no, I don't trust you. I don't believe in you. She talks so much shit to Kamala, mm-hmm. to her face. But, like, that's why people say, like, JC parents, they're the realists. They'll talk shit about you to your face, but behind your back, they're your biggest hype men. Mm-hmm. They always hype you up.
They are your biggest ally. That's completely true.
Yeah. I love that they show that. And then she curses them out in like Urdu.
Man,
funny.
Speaking of her mom, Muniba.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought they got the perfect person for that role too. Like, she is such an amazing Desi mom in this show.
She is. She is really, really good. And a lot of people had like issues with it because she isn't Pakistani. But I feel like that issue is a valid concern. But at some point, you got to know that, like, honestly, and it's a tough conversation to have. But like, maybe there aren't that many Pakistanis as we think there are, because it's not really a career that we're encouraged to go into.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes you just got to get the best actor for the role. And after seeing her play Kamala's mom, I could see someone being in the casting room being like, yeah, she's not Pakistani, but she's so good. We got to get her.
Yeah.
And I fuck with that. It makes sense to me.
It made sense to me, too. Like, after seeing her, like, even in the first episode, I kind of had some issues with her being that way. But in the second episode, she came through and I was like, oh, this is why they did it. Now, I'm not going to spoil too much about the second episode, but for those of you who are concerned about episode one with whatever concerns you have, episode two and I'm guessing probably episode three will erase all of that.
It's very different from the comics, because Kamala's mom is pretty supportive in the comics, but she isn't a big character. In this, there is a lot going with her mom. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that her mom knows about Kamala's powers or something that she isn't talking about, right? Because she makes these eye movements and these death stares and stuff like that, and it's really telling that she knows more than she lets on. Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm excited to see what she's going to do. And full disclosure here, I'm a little biased here. The actress who plays Muniba, Zenobia, is it? I can't pronounce the last name. Is it Sharaf? Sharaf?
Like, Sharaf.
Sharaf, yeah. Sharaf. She posted me on her Instagram and I just lost my like shit in the Uber there. I was like legitimately like crying.
And what was her comment? She made a comment.
Yeah, she was like, it was lovely to meet you at MU Ijaz. Please keep up the Brown podcast. And I'm like,
that's us. We're the Brown podcast. That's us.
We made it. And she sent this to all of her like followers on Instagram. This is on her story. I have a screenshot. We can actually probably post it up in a bit, but
Dope.
Yeah, like, love it. We really are famous adjacent now, as Neve likes to say. Goal.
I would say that. I was like, I never want to be famous, but like, I don't mind being famous adjacent. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, like, if famous people know you, like, that's dope. I like that. I like famous people knowing me. It is really cool. I don't need to be known by like millions of people, but if like somebody who's like, you know, a celebrity kind of knows who I am. I'm like, that's kind of cool. That's cool.
Jai Wolf knows you. That's really cool.
I know. That's so dope.
Kerpa Sudik knows you. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's so funny, man.
Juhi Fahim knows you. That's really, really cool.
Listen, the Brown world is smaller than people think. It's not that hard to be famous adjacent in the Brown world.
Mm-hmm. But I hope we can get her on the podcast. I would love to just talk to her about her experience in Hollywood and Bollywood and everything she's done, because
I
think she may have been one of the first, right? Like,
you know what's really cool, I went to this red carpet interview and everybody was like, you're so good at stuff like this, and like I was like, because like I guess because I do the podcast and I'm good at like transitions and stuff like that, so like I'm pretty good at going
your from famous transitions
I know I'm pretty good at going from question to question, and they were all shocked, and like I really think it's the fact that like I was just like a big fan of Marvel, because like these girls didn't really know as much about Marvel, so they're like, our questions are very rigid and like, what do you think about diversity? What do you think about that? And I'm like, my question is like, what's it like being America's mom? And like, can we adopt you like as our mom? And like, I was just having conversations with her and she was just like being so nice. And she was like, you know, I've been a mother to 14 South Asian kids, you know, like, cause she's played a mother so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny. And I was like, do you want to be a mother to any other Marvel superhero? She goes, no, I am the mother to one superhero, and that's the only one that matters, and it's Kamala Khan. And
that's
I was
so cute.
Yeah, it's so funny. She was so nice. She was such a good interview. It was just a conversation that we were having. It wasn't just questions. And Iman, oh my God, that girl is just like she is also somebody who's just like very charismatic. And when she talks to you, it's not like, oh, she has to talk to you. She's like, yeah, I'm happy to answer whatever questions you have for me, right?
Any stupid question works.
Oh, yeah. She has great answers. Like, a kid should not have that great answers. And mashallah, that kid is, like, special.
Brilliant,
like,
yeah.
She knows her stuff, man. It's cool. Let's talk about the episode. What else happened? We see her have, you know, really feel uncomfortable in her skin. And we see her have an interaction with, like, all the kids in school. And she meets Zoe. Zoe is the bane of her existence. And I feel
like
the bane
of all of our existences. We've all had a Zoe in our life.
Yeah, but I feel like Zoe was tamed down. She's a lot worse in the comics. Like, I think,
you know,
like,
you're right. She seems almost friendly in this.
Right?
And she's not. You're right.
Like, I feel like they toned down on the microaggressions, which I don't really love. Because, like, Zoe goes to Kamala and says, like, yeah, you know, they do, like, honor killings back home in your town, right? And stuff like that. Like, she'll say, like, really fucked up stuff. And, like, that makes you, like, really hate her. But, like, this Zoe wasn't that bad. I think they toned her down a little bit. I think, like, the microaggressions against Kamala in general were toned down quite a bit.
Oh, 100% agreed.
The racism she faces, you know, it was toned down. And it also didn't have that whole, she's changed into Miss Marvel, that white woman, all that stuff. They didn't get to do any of that. But I still think they did a good job, man. I still think it was really, really good. And, you know, what I think Zoe does say something to her. I think she, like, not bad mouth, but she's like, she mentioned that her necklace is in Arabic. And she's like, oh, whatever. And just kind of, like, dips, right?
Yeah.
So she kind of
does.
There
was a microaggression there.
Yeah, like a little bit of a microaggression, right? But it wasn't, like, super crazy like the one in like the one we saw in the comics. So they toned her down a little bit. And I was actually worried about Nakia for
Yasmin Fletcher's
stuff.
Character, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people had issues with her character because the trailers were very, like, misleading. They make it look like she's barely in it at all, and she's, like, super... she's doing things that are out of character for her. And when I watched the first episode, I felt that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I felt, then when I watched the second episode, everything changed, and I was like, "No, that's still our girl. That's still Nakia from the comics."
And that's why, like, I keep telling everybody, they're like, "Have you been on Twitter lately?"
Little bit.
Because I know you've been in Turkey, so I don't know if you had time to get on Twitter. But, like, a lot of Muslim Twitter is, like, flaming the show because it's not how they grew up or in their, how they were in their bubbles.
Yeah.
And people were also flaming Nakia because they only saw episode one, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what I do want to very explicitly say is that episode two does fix it.
Oh.
This whole show has been toned down a bit. Actually,
yeah,
quite a bit, but it works. It's a Disney show. They can't always show everything, keep a certain rating. And
you also have to notice that it is only a 6-episode show,
mm-hmm,
and if something requires nuance, it's better not to do it at all than to half-ass it.
Right.
In my opinion, 100%. Right?
They don't have time, like, to do that right now.
Exactly.
We need to get a season 2 going first. That should be our priority. Which, by the way, everybody, please stream this show now, ASAP.
Yes.
Like, whenever it drops, please stream the first day. Show Disney that this show is so important that we're willing to drop whatever we're doing on Wednesdays or Thursday mornings, and we're going to watch this. Because the more we do that, they will see, like, oh, this show is worth keeping. Let's give them a second season. Let's give them a third season. Let's give them 6 seasons in a movie. That's what we want.
You know, someone told me that that's actually how it works. Like, there's, like, metrics that they use, or KPIs that they use at Netflix, to judge whether a show is good. And one is, like, how fast they binge the entire show. One is whether they watch it the day it drops.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you watch something the day it drops or the hour it drops, it gives it extra points. How many retimes you rewatch it, it gives extra points. Like, honestly, like leave it on in the background and just do your work or something.
Yes. Let's all artificially inflate the ratings for Ms. Marvel internally at Disney.
Well, speaking of artificially inflating, they're artificially deflating the ratings on IMDb. Did you see what happened on IMDb?
Oh my God.
They review bombed the show. So there's like a Christian organization with about like 1,400 followers on Facebook. And they wrote this article with like, Marvel is not making good Christian heroes anymore. They are only making gay, lesbian, Muslim heroes. And because of that, everybody gave it a 1-star rating.
Yep. It got down to like 6 point something.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's so funny because like, it's actually the worst reviewed movie on IMDb, but the not movie but show, and the best reviewed Marvel show on Rotten Tomatoes at the same time. And it's so obvious that like it just got reviewed bombed by like these fundamentalist Christians who don't like the fact that they're making a Muslim superhero show.
No, they don't like the fact that there's anybody else that exists besides them. Like they can just go. I can't say those words on the show. I'll keep it PG-13 today.
All right, so we got that. So we talked about Nakia, we talked about Zoe and the microaggressions.
How about Sagar, man?
Sagar is amazing. Like he didn't get enough lines in this one, but I think he does in the second one a little more. But he's such a good brother when he brings her like Jai.
I've done that for my sister. Like you don't understand how accurate that was. I legitimately shed a tear at that moment. I'm like, I did that. I made chat with my sister when she was really sad about not going to prom.
Because
my mom would not want to go to prom.
For her. That's
right, like so typical brown family drama stuff, right? And that's what we did. And so I was like, this is so real. Like, I love it.
It's so accurate. I love that, like, it's funny because, like, Muslim people, like, whether you're a brother or a sister or a mom, we don't apologize to each other. We'll just, like, bring you, like, either chai or, like, cut up fruit. And that's our way of apologizing.
In my house, that's cantaloupe. About it.
Yeah, we do cantaloupe too, actually. That's so funny. So I really like that. And the way he, like, holds the chai when he brings it to her, it's like you were taught to bring chai that way and hold it that way
with care, right? With love,
right? Yeah.
And he did that. Like, just these little things made me so happy watching it.
Yeah, and he's like a good brother because he convinced his parents to let her go to AvengerCon and stuff like that, which is really cool. In the comics, he's not like that. He's a lot more strict religiously, and he would be like, "No, you shouldn't go to these things." So it's a little different from the comics, but I like. This Sagar, this Amr.
It's Amr.
Sagar is
the actor, and we know him.
The actor. Yeah.
Well, we know of him. I met him once or twice.
Yeah. So it's really cool, man. I really like his character. I'm looking forward to seeing him. He does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see her sneak off and get her Miss Marvel costume and put it on in the room. And there is this scene where she like looks at it. And she's like, I don't understand how Iman has never acted before. Because, like, there's one thing of, like, oh, just be yourself because you're Kamala Khan. But in that scene where she's putting on clothes, there's no lines. Everything is done with just facial expressions. And she does so much with so little. It's amazing. Like, you can tell in that scene that she's, like, you know, her mom says, like, who's wearing these skimpy clothes? This is not you. And, like, she looks at her clothes. Nobody's there. Nobody's judging her. She's by herself. And she looks at it and she goes like, yeah, it is too tight. And I don't want to wear tight clothes. And then she puts like a sash around her. And then she like her mom comes in. But like she made that decision to put that sash around her. Right. And it's amazing because like we as Muslim people, we find these compromises of things that we don't want to do, but we also want to do. Right. And for me, that was going to clubs and bars. Like, I don't want to be in a place that sells alcohol. Like, I don't drink alcohol. I don't want to be at a club. I don't want to be at a bar. But I want to spend time with my friends. And my friends are not Muslim. And they are at these bars and they're at these clubs. Right. And for me, that was like the big sacrifice. I'm like, you know what? I will go, but I won't drink, and I'll also drive them home. That was like my way.
Yes, designated driver.
Yeah, right? I'll make sure they get home safe. And that was my way of like a compromise that I made with myself where I can go and enjoy and be with my friends and maybe not feel as guilty as a Muslim to being in this environment that I shouldn't be in, right? And I feel like Kamala was going through the same thing where she was like, she really wants to go and do this cosplay. She wants to do this Marvel thing, but she also doesn't want to wear tight clothes because she knows deep down that's not who she is.
Yeah.
And Kamala and like Iman does this all with like 3 facial expressions. Like, it's so good. It's fantastic acting. I love it. But that was an important part for me. And then she goes and like her parents are like, you know, her parents are so awesome because they were like, you know what? We will let you go to Avengers Con. But then they're like, but also your dad has to come with you and he's going to be dressed as a giant Green Hulk.
Okay. That part is the only part that's not accurate. I have never met a brown dad or uncle who will dress up as the Hulk and go with anyone to Comic-Con. Even if he went to Comic-Con just normally, I'd be like, okay, I can see that being real. But the fact that he was in like green makeup paints and had the outfit and everything, I'm like, nah, I gotta draw the line there. I would love you if you were my dad like that, but that doesn't happen.
No, but like Kamala's dad is a very like unique character because like I feel like there are parts of him that are like every Daisy dad, but mm-hmm. there's also parts of him that are like not, that are very unique because like mm-hmm. he really loves Kamala and he'll do anything for her. And he does like these things, but he's also like the least religious person in the family. Like his son is more religious than he is. It's just like so funny.
Isn't that a trope though?
No,
like, in some households, like whenever the parents aren't as religious, every now and then you'll have a kid who could become super religious to compensate for it.
I don't know if that's true, but I know in real life there are people like that.
Like in real life, that happens. Oh, in real life. That happens all the time.
Oh, I thought you meant like in a TV trope. Cause like,
I guess a stereotype would be the right word then.
Yeah. But like in this TV show, it's really different because like in most stereotypes, the father is super strict and religious. Mm-hmm. The mom is subservient. The son is rebellious and the girl is like oppressed. Right. But in Ms. Marvel, the dad is very liberal. The mom is like running shit. And like the son is very religious. And Kamala, like, you know, she's not oppressed. She's just like normal.
A little rebellious, like all teenagers. Right?
Exactly. And I feel like the show did a good job of like flipping it on top of his head. It's mm-hmm. like they're not using those stereotypes. And I think that's pretty cool. And it's taken straight from the comics. I feel like the source material is so good that it's really hard to mess some of this stuff up.
Shout out to Sun and Willow. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did you see what happened with Willow today?
I saw.
Yeah.
Because let's go back to the necklace you were talking about, sir. You're going to need to talk about this.
Oh man. Okay. So in the this is wild. So in the beginning, Chloe and Kamala have this exchange and Kamala's
Zoe.
Yeah. So Zoe has this exchange with Kamala and she says, "Oh, I like your necklace." And Kamala goes, "Thanks. It's my name in Arabic," right? And I was like doing edits for my TikToks and stuff. And I'm like, you know, when you're doing edits, you're staring at the picture like for a long time. And I realized that the Kof in Kamala's name, the K, looks a lot like her symbol.
Kof is Arabic letter for K. I don't know if everyone got that. But
yeah. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a second. Carol Danvers was never Miss Marvel in the MCU. So Kamala Khan cannot just like have that symbol out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So where does that symbol come from? And then if you notice, the symbol for the show is a little different than the symbol for the comic. The mm-hmm. symbol for the comic is very like has hard edges. This one has smooth edges. And I'm like, wait a second. That letter looks a lot like her symbol. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is Ms. Marvel is going to use the first letter in her name in Arabic as the symbol for her costume.
Yep. Because so Neves, you posted this. And, yes. Or you asked Sana if you could ask her this question.
Yeah.
And she just straight up declined because she knew she would give it away from facial expressions, even though she didn't outright say it.
And so basically what happened, when I was at the red carpet, I was like, hey, Sana, can I ask you a question? She's like, sure. So I'm like, okay. I was like, about the symbol, can I give you my theory about like what the symbol stands for? And she's like, no, don't do it. And I'm like, what? She was like, because if you get it right, my face is going to give it away, and I can't. She's like, I can't control my face. So yep. she's like, you're going to, if you get it right, my face is not going to be able to, like, you know, but she doesn't have a poker face. So right. She's like, I can't tell you. So I'm like, you know what? I told Sana I was going to tweet this to her so that way she doesn't have to respond to it. That way, like, mm-hmm. she doesn't have to do a poker face, right? So I put my theory out there. I tweeted it, and I was like, Sana said that, you know, she couldn't listen to my theory because she would give it away. And then somebody tagged G Willow Wilson in that same thing, and G Willow Wilson said, well, if Sana can't answer it, I definitely can't answer it. And I was like, wait mm-hmm. a second. Wait mm-hmm. a second.
That's the most eloquent way to confirm what happened without confirming it.
Yeah, and then somebody else who worked on the show, somebody else tagged him in my Instagram, and they also commented, and they left a emoji with the zipper. Mm-hmm, on the zipper. On the yeah. And I was like, wait a second. He worked on the show, and he put a zipper. Yo, I think I'm right. I think I discovered something.
I think you are, man. I co-signed this. I completely agree with you.
And I scoured the internet and, like, Reddit and Twitter. Like, no one's made this connection. So mm-hmm. I'm the first one to make this connection.
You heard it here first on Salam Nerds, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm glad that with Watch What Neves on his TikTok and Insta and Twitter. But you heard it second here, or third, or fourth, or fifth on Slum Nerds.
But it's not the fact that I found it. I'm just glad somebody of Pakistani descent discovered it. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. As I said earlier on your Instagram, right? Only yeah. somebody in this yeah. like culture, right? Someone who's Pakistani or Arabic could put that reference in the show so subtly, and only somebody who can, like, read Arabic or Urdu could pick up on it. And I'm yes. so glad it was a Fox sign that figured it out.
Yes.
AKA
yes.
you.
Oh, man. No, it's cool, man. I've been having a great week, man.
Dude, this week's been amazing.
I know. Like, I just came from Turkey. I came from Dubai. And, like, I got here. And, like, freaking, I'm meeting, like, an Oscar-winning director, Sana, G. Willow Wilson, Iman. Like, it's crazy. Like, mm-hmm. What is my life?
Yeah, when Shermin walked in, right? Like, I audibly gasped. And the people I was with, they were like, did you just? I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a big fan.
What was I saying? Okay, so yeah, they were talking about how, like, every time they would send a, they would finish editing a script, they would read Eighth Look Earthy before they send it out. Like, it's so funny. And like they're like, every time before they do a scene, like, Sana would do, like, Eighth Look Earthy and blow on Imani, like, shit, like mm-hmm. they do, like, moms do. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's so cute. And they were like, after every scene, they're always like, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And, like, on the set, everyone is saying all these things, and it's such a surreal moment. And I was like, that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I needed this, man. Like, I genuinely cried in theaters. Like,
honestly, a lot of girls have been on TikTok and talking about how they can relate. And it's really interesting, man. This show feels like therapy for a lot of mm-hmm. people right now. And, like, our childhood is healing. Like, I know the show is for kids, but, like, all of us in our 30s and, like, late 20s are, like, we didn't get this representation when we were kids, but, like, we still held on to some of that drama. And, like, mm-hmm. I feel like with this show, we got to let some of that go, and it's really a sweet moment.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, Pakistani American, Muslim Americans, like, you can relate to this, and I hope it helps you. Like, it's helped me a bit, so
yeah,
this is great, and this is why we need more of this. This is why we need to watch this show as soon as it drops, and because I want the show to continue. I want more of this. I want kids in the future with other shows to see this, and we need to show the world, and more specifically Disney and all these studios, that diversity is a good thing. And if you can tap into people's narratives and their experiences, not only can you make a lot of money, but people will love you for it.
it's very cool. I don't know, man. I don't have words for this.
It's really hard to put into words the kind of uplifting healing I felt that day.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, So I feel like for years we've been begging for crumbs of representation, and we've been asking it of people who do not look like us, who do not care about us, who just want our dollars. This show is by us. It's by Muslims. It's by South Asians. It's by Middle Easterns. And there is a certain sense of authenticity that comes with it. And with that comes dignity, right?
Yeah.
And I love that about this show. And it just makes me super happy that not only is this show a gift to us, but it's an achievement by us. We made this. We made an incredible show, right? Like we, as in like South Asians, Muslims, like we made this show. And no one can take that away from us. No one gifted us this. No one gave right. this. We earned this, right? We made it. Kevin Feige signed off on it, but everything else we did.
Thank you, Daddy Feige.
You know what I was talking about? Yo, Iman and Feige are so like close. And I was like, yo, homie better be giving you ED on like the next piece. She says she texts him about like theories and stuff all the time. That man better give you ED.
Mm-hmm. And it better be in the tens of thousands.
Yeah, right?
Hey, she deserves it, man. I'm telling you. Like she deserves every penny for what she's about to do for Marvel.
Yeah, man, it's really, really cool.
Like, honestly, she should be the new face of Marvel, right? Like,
that's what people are saying. Like, for comic books, like Miles Morales and Kamala Khan are the face of comics, Marvel comics. And honestly, we might see that for MCU also.
Man, Neebs, I think we're approaching the mark because we're hitting 45 minutes now.
Okay, all right. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Come back next week where we'll talk about Ms. Marvel with a special guest, hopefully. We'll let you know who
Inshallah,
it is.
He'll be here.
Oh. After we record the episode. Did you say the
Inshallah,
name?
They will be here.
Yeah, we gotta use gender-neutral pronouns because we can't give it away. Anyways, that's it for our episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And till then, it's Salam, nerds.